The North Carolina Budget and Tax Center this week put out a report on the state of the state's economy with snapshots for each individual county, including Orange. And going to look at the numbers, we're joined now on the phone by Brian Kennedy, who's a policy analyst with the Budget and Tax Center. Brian, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
And the Budget and Tax Center, by the way, affiliated with the North Carolina Justice Center, and you can get the full report online at ncjustice.org/snapshots, and you can do that anytime. So, Brian, before we get into the details for Orange County, just in general across the state, what are the key findings out of this report?
So there are a few things that are surprising and a few things that we expected. For one, we're doing typically a little bit better than we were the previous year in terms of poverty rates. So poverty in just about every county has slightly gone down over the past year. And we've actually seen a small decrease in the number of renters who are finding rent to be unaffordable.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, what we're continuing to see are that some counties are sharing a large share, are having a large share of the economic progress, while a majority of counties are still falling behind. And so we see that in the number of jobs that are being created, the number or the way that wages are either growing or falling. And so unfortunately, still far too many North Carolinians across the state are not seeing a lot of the economic growth that a lot of state advocates and experts are talking about.
And we've talked a lot on the air about the urban and rural divide there, the fact that economic growth seems to be concentrated in the kind of the city areas of North Carolina, the Triangle and Charlotte and places like that, and rural counties are getting left behind. Is that what we're seeing in this report too?
So that, yeah, that's accurate for this report as well. But it's also important to note that even in, and we did a report about a year ago on concentrated poverty, and so we found that even in the major metro areas like Wake, like Charlotte and Mecklenburg, mm-hmm. In the Triad, even within those areas where we're seeing a large amount of job growth, we're also seeing a growth in concentrated poverty. And so these are neighborhoods where, you know, 40% or more of the residents are experiencing poverty. So while a lot of the job creation is happening in the metropolitan areas, because we haven't seen significant wage growth after adjusting for inflation, we're still seeing people who are even living in places where there is job growth, but still unable to make ends meet.
Yeah, and tell us about wages, because here's a point where I'm looking at the statewide numbers versus Orange County specifically. There is kind of a big difference in the last 10 years. We're seeing some pretty significant increases in average wages in Orange County, but across the state in the last 10 years, even though we've been talking about a 10-year growth cycle and a run of prosperity like we've never seen before, wages have been basically stagnant in those 10 years, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So Orange County has seen probably some of the highest wage growth over the past decade. And so since the recession began in 2009, the county has seen wages grow by nearly $3, and that's after adjusting for inflation. That's significantly larger than the state overall, which has seen wages grow by about 38 cents after adjusting for inflation. We have many counties that have seen wages actually fall. Mm-hmm. The reason why that's such a huge problem is because things like childcare, rent, food, transportation costs, those are all rising. And so if folks' wages are not keeping up with their expenses, then that actually puts them in a position where they can afford less, even though they're still working hard.
Speaking with Brian Kennedy, and again, we're talking about a report that you can get online at ncjustice.org/snapshots. It's snapshots of the state of the economy for each individual county in the state, put out this week by the Budget and Tax Center. And Brian, you mentioned rent and affordable housing, and this is certainly an issue that we're facing and have been facing for years in Orange County and certainly across the state as well. And this report says, and this is not going to be a surprise to anyone listening who's been following the affordable housing issue in Orange County, nearly half of Orange County residents, 48.4%, are paying more than 30% of their income in rent. And that's the point where we start to think of housing as not being affordable. And that's certainly a big issue in Orange County. But according to this report, we're not alone. This is very much in line with what we're seeing across the state. How is the statewide picture?
So the state is actually very similar to Orange County. Like you said, nearly 50% of renters across the entire state, including Orange County, are paying 30% or more in their income towards rent. And this has serious implications when we're talking about folks' ability to take a good job. If we're talking about job growth happening in these large metro areas, people are having to make a decision about whether or not they can actually afford to live in those areas. When we're also having conversations around transportation, transportation costs are becoming an increasingly larger portion of folks' budget. And so people are struggling with whether or not they can afford to drive across multiple counties to work a good, high-quality job. And so when we talk about growing prosperity and investing in communities and investing in good, growing jobs, we also have to think about the supports that go around those jobs. So housing is one. But things like childcare are also critically important. And so when we see, childcare costs skyrocketing, we also see folks having to choose between whether or not they can actually afford to even take a good, high-quality paying job that may lead to, a better career and all these things that we hope that people are able to access.
How much of this is a national issue? How does North Carolina compare to the rest of the country? Do we know?
So that's a good question. Yeah. North Carolina has had a slower recovery than the majority of states in the nation. A lot of this is due to our kind of statewide approach to fiscal policy over the past decade. We've decided to reduce taxes, both corporate income tax as well as the personal income tax. And so what that means is that we have less money to invest in things that we know grow our communities and grow our economies. And I'll give you a really specific example. Last year, the federal government actually passed bipartisan funding that would have given North Carolina $73 million to invest in early childhood education. But what the state decided to do instead was to take $50 million, that the state was investing in early childhood education and actually replaced it with that federal funding. So instead of taking the opportunity to expand the number of childcare slots that the state could provide, they kept it the same and just reduced the amount of money the state was spending. And this was to pay for tax cuts. And so when we make those choices not to invest but to maintain the status quo, we tend to have a slower recovery than not just the rest of the nation, but our neighbors also in the South.
In terms of housing, in terms of transportation, childcare, infrastructure, the things that you're mentioning, what can be done on a local level, on a town or a county level, to kind of move the dial and make living more affordable for people?
Right. So there are some really innovative things that that local communities and Orange County is already doing. One is investing in programs that help to just lower the barriers to employment. And so a lot of local communities, including Orange County, have relationships with the community college, the Smart Start program, to make sure that working parents and parents who are going back for training can have assistance with transportation, can have assistance with childcare. The county, although the county cannot mandate that private employers pay livable wages, they can, one, ensure that county and city workers are paid a livable wage, and they can also encourage, through different programs, encourage private employers to pay a livable wage. And then I think one of the most important things is recognizing that folk are working really hard and they're trying, but there are systemic barriers that are still in place. And oftentimes those fall along lines of race, along lines of gender. And so having conversations and addressing policies that are actually causing and putting up those systemic barriers and being honest about those is an important first step in making sure that we're allowing everybody to really share in the prosperity.
We're speaking with Brian Kennedy, and again, you can get the full report at ncjustice.org/snapshots, and I encourage you to go to that website and check it out, because we're really only going to be able to scrape the tip of the iceberg in terms of the numbers here. But what are some of the other significant numbers that you're seeing for Orange County in particular that you want to highlight here?
Yeah, so I think in terms of some of the things that Orange County is doing particularly well, and you mentioned the wage growth in the county, nearly $3 wage growth over the past year. Orange County also has a significantly higher number of people who have access to health insurance, which is critical.
Mm-hmm.
A high number of mental health providers per resident. But there are some areas where the county is not doing as well. In terms of the gender wage gap, men with a bachelor's degree make significantly more than women in the county with the same level of education. So there are areas where Orange, like I said, is doing significantly better, and there are definitely areas where some improvements could be made.
Anything else that people ought to know about this report on the state level?
I think it's important to understand that there are no issues that we're facing that are insurmountable.
Mm-hmm.
None of the disparities that exist are natural causes. They're the result of our choices and how we choose to invest in the priorities that we make. And so if we either as local communities or as a state decide that it's important that we eliminate the gender wage gap, or that it's important that we eliminate child poverty, or that it's important that we make sure that folk can afford to live close to their jobs that they're working, those are issues that we can address. There are models on how to address those. And if we choose to put our money where our mouth is and invest in those important and critical things, then we can make huge and serious improvements, which have very real implications in people's everyday lives.
And child poverty is another one that I highlighted. Orange County's got an 11.2% child poverty rate, which is too high, but way lower than the state average, where more than 1 in 5 children are living in poverty.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's an area, there are a lot of reasons why that child poverty rate is so low. A lot of it does have to do with just the type of jobs that are employing in the county,
mm-hmm.
And jobs that are paying higher livable wages. We see a lot of conversation around childhood poverty, but a lot of the solutions don't necessarily are not necessarily targeted at improving the circumstances of the parents. So more policies and more efforts that really help parents of children are going to go a long way in reducing childhood poverty.
You can get the full report online at ncjustice.org/snapshots. And again, way, way more numbers in the report that we're able to cover in this conversation. So definitely head there and check that out. Brian Kennedy, Budget and Tax Center, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much. It was truly a pleasure.